MoneyWeb now on the money.
This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Chatting now with Skulk Lowe from PSG Old Oak. Skulk, appreciate the early morning time. Something I've been watching with interest over, and I can't believe it's been 5 years already. It goes all the way back to July 2019, and we should stress this is unofficial. But Magda Wojcicka, of course, CEO of Signia, challenged Orbis and said that her S&P 500 ETF would beat the global equity fund from Orbis. And the short version is, as you put out the data yesterday on your Twitter account, there's S&P absolutely did. Well, S&P and ZAR, we should stress.
Good morning, Simon. Yeah, what a fun unofficial challenge. I actually sort of named it unofficial challenge back then because, yeah, as you mentioned, 22 June, well, let's call it end of June, Magda actually threw down the gauntlet the first time. And she actually put, you know, sort of a challenge behind it. She said, well, and I read her tweet, I will bet Alan Gray 1 million rand that Signia's fund outperform over 5 years. Will Alan Gray take the bet? Mm. And so it went on for a week or three, and I just thought, now this is just going to be too fun to not do this. We started the challenge in July 2019. And wow, I can't believe it. As you mentioned, 5 years, how 5 years has flown by so quickly. But yeah, you mentioned it in the beginning, the S&P 500 definitely having a fun time. So, and let's just be honest. I mean, I'm going to put my cards on the table now. Mm-hmm. When originally, a lot of people usually ask, my inputs, what do I think? And I was leaning, and I actually said it back then, I would be leaning, the S&P 500 was coming off such a massive, massive run, not only over those 5 years, but pretty much those last 9 years. And I definitely thought that it was the time for value. And why do I say that? I also do a monthly data where I usually compare the MSCI growth against the MSCI value. Even on that stage, it was massively distressed. And when I say, you know, that value shares were lagging the growth shares by a country mile in 2019. So in general, I thought, no, not using either one of these two funds, let's have some fun. Let's run this. And why is this important? I think, so many people, so many followers has highlighted the fact that, I mean, you're comparing apples with pears. I mean, Orbis Global Equities, firstly, as the name says, is a global equity fund, currently only investing 52% in the US, got exposure to emerging markets, 16% as we currently sit here. And they actually highlighted in their fact sheet, you know, they say, you know, these equities, which implies their own equities, you know, are selected using extensive proprietary research and it invests in equities considered to offer superior fundamental value. There's the word again, value. So value lagged. We had things called the Magnificent Seven. And yeah, the end is history. Signia won.
It is the point. And we should be clear, Orbis never took up on the million, so there's no million rand being changed by anyone here. But it, you know, in the one sense, folks would be like, this is an active versus passive debate. The other sense, and I take your point, and I remember back then as well in mid-2019, and I looked at US equity markets and thought, man, this can't go another 5 years. The truth of the matter is markets can do crazy stuff, and this is a case of it. I mean, the S&P has been... it's been a wild decade, almost decade plus for that index, and it's just kept on going.
And I think the most important point, I mean, usually when you get a fund who sees himself as value managers and they really outperform everything, even in a sort of that growth cycle, you need to ask question marks. Now, I think the most important point, when you look at both these funds, both of them outperformed the MSCI All Country World Index, which would say... That's a good thing. Both great funds. But listen to this. I mean, over this five-year period, and I've done it in Rand, over this five-year period, you know, the Signia Itrix, you know, S&P 500 ETF, 150% over 5 years, 24% by Orbis Global Equity. So even if you could not decide 5 years ago and just invested both these companies, you would have had, despite the fact that we had things like COVID, despite mm-hmm. the inflation crisis, wars in numerous places all over the world, you still yielded a growth in rand terms more than 124%. So that's, I would say it was a great exercise. It was fun to do.
Yeah, I mean, more than doubling your money in 5 years. That is, I mean, yeah, that's plus 15% returns. A quick other question. I mean, the point comes back is that this is also in part, and Warren Buffett did this many years ago, for the know-nothing, keep-it-simple investor, the ETFs are, I mean, you can't go wrong.
Yeah. No, I think that was sort of the whole message of this whole exercise. You don't have to choose.
Yeah.
It's not the one or the other. And you don't need to put, all your eggs in one basket. There's, fantastic active managers out there, and there's fantastic passive products out there. Why not just combine them? I mean, yeah, we do. And in this case, I think that is the proof of the pudding here was in the eating.
Yeah, absolutely. ETFs in the core and then satellite, go pick your active managers or be your own active manager if you think you can do it. You've got to double your money in 5 years. So it's a tough benchmark there. Skulk Low, PSG Auto, and you'll find them on the Twitters at Skulk Low. Appreciate the early morning. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.